to Healing for Your Heart. Healing for Your Heart is a daily radio program brought to you by Amelia Kenya. God wants to dwell with you, to love, to guide, to protect, and to provide for your daily needs. God's design is for you to enjoy His presence. Healing for Your Heart is possible today. Here is your author and speaker, Amelia Kenya.
We are continuing with our topic, God's presence is our safest umbrella in life. We saw last time that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. The Bible reminded us in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12 that we are wrestling against principalities. We are fighting against powers. We are fighting against the rulers of the darkness of this present world. And we are fighting against spiritual wickedness in high places. We also saw that we are fighting an enemy, just as that scripture has reminded us, who is very cunning. An enemy who studies us and tries very hard to draw us out of the umbrella of God. So we want to continue on and see exactly whom are we fighting. Do we understand our enemy? So how does Satan lure us? How does he draw us from the umbrella of God? And who exactly is he? Many times we are lured because we don't understand who our enemy is. We don't even understand how great or the magnitude with which the enemy can work around us and draw us. Sometimes our minds don't comprehend what we are dealing with. Sometimes we are even deceived and lured to think that the enemy we are fighting is a small thing that we can handle, we can manipulate, or we can easily get out of his traps. But that is not true. The Bible tells us who the enemy we are fighting is, an enemy that has been here for a long time, who understands the tactics of people, who has worked amongst people for a very long time. And so he has the potential, he has the power and the capability to deceive and deceive very well. I would like us to look at what the Bible talks about the enemy we are dealing with. What does the Bible tell us about Satan so that we can understand and know how to handle him or how to go about life? I would like us to turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 14, and we shall read from verse 12 and up to verse 15 together. The book of Isaiah, chapter 14, we shall read from verse 12 to verse 15. Let us see what the Bible says. The Bible says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer?" The Bible is referring here to Satan. Lucifer is another name for Satan. So, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations?" Look at what he does. He weakens the nations. Verse 13, "For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north." I hope you're getting it. That is the kind of attitude that was in Satan while he was still right there in heaven. Look at verse 13 again. "For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north." Verse 14. This is what Satan also said. "I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High." Verse 15. "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." So Satan wants to exalt himself. Let us turn to another scripture and read again together from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 28. We shall read from verse 12 to verse 19. Ezekiel chapter 28, let us read from verse 12 to verse 19. This is what the Bible says, verse 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, thus says the Lord God, thou sealest up the psalm full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Look at what the Bible says about Satan. Verse 13, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. Whom is he talking about? Satan was adorned while he was right there in heaven. Look at the adornment that Satan had. The sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. So Satan was adorned. Then look at verse 14 and look at what Satan did while he was right there in the Garden of Eden. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitudes of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Look at verse 18. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thy iniquities, by the iniquities of thy trafficking. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. So we are seeing that Satan was created in full wisdom and in full beauty. Satan was present in the Garden of Eden. As the Bible tells us in the book of Ezekiel, he was adorned with every precious stone. In fact, the Bible also goes on to remind us that he was an anointed cherub. He was set aside to minister in the very presence of God. Satan was perfect in his ways until iniquity crept into his heart. His heart got filled with pride. He got filled with arrogance because he was beautiful. When that happened, the Bible says that his wisdom was corrupted. And it was corrupted because of his beauty, because of his splendor. There's a point while there in the Garden of Eden, right there in heaven with God, Satan aspired to be like the Most High God. In fact, by his own words, he said he wanted to set his throne above the stars of God. God, who cannot share his glory, could not hold Satan in heaven. That contention could not go on. So God cast him out of heaven together with the angels who were on his side. And those are the angels who become demons, who become aids to Satan as he works to lure man and draw him out of the umbrella of God. So ever since his fall, Satan, together with his angels, has been waging war. He wages war against God, and he wages war against everyone who is on God's side. This war only intensifies with time, and we can see that it is really intensifying as we even draw closer and closer to the return of Christ. So every day that passes draws us closer to the return of Christ, and we see that the war intensifies also. So how does Satan draw us out of God's umbrella? He entices us. Just as we saw that human beings can catch flies because they are smarter than flies, so can Satan deceive us. He can deceive us because he is smart. He is smarter than we think. He has been at this deceptive game for a very long time, and so he knows exactly what it will take to catch you. He knows what it is going to take to catch me. One easy way that you can get to the heart of man is through his sight. When we like what we see, we begin to entertain it. We begin first by entertaining it in our mind. And remember, the mind is the greatest battlefield that we have in our spiritual warfare. And once we accept what we have seen and we begin to entertain it in our mind, before we know it, that thing finds its own habitation in our very hearts. So it moves from our brain, from our mind, down into our hearts. And then as long as we keep entertaining it, we find that it infiltrates our lives and it becomes part and parcel of us. The devil takes time to scheme. He takes time to study us. He takes time to look at our likes and our dislikes. When he is targeting you, he will go those extra miles to find out what your strengths are and what your weaknesses are. That is because that is the only easy way to scheme on you, and that is the easiest way he can mold and formulate his baits so that he can give you what is just perfect, knowing that he's going to draw you away from God one step after another. So he will look for a good bait, well cultivated, well calculated, well cured, and then he will put it on our path. You see, that bait that he's going to use is selected intentionally so that it will keep you longer than you had hoped to stay. The bait the enemy is going to use is going to appeal to your senses. It is going to appeal to your emotions. But it has an ultimate goal of holding you captive. You see, the devil does not play fair. He has never played fair, and he will never play fair. When the devil comes, he has nothing but bad intentions. And that is why the Bible warns us again and again. If you look at what the Bible tells us in the book of John, chapter 10, verse 10, the devil has three major intentions. He wants to steal, he wants to kill, he wants to destroy. So look around your own life. What is it that the enemy is driving at? What is it that he really wants to steal from you? Are there things in your life that have been vibrant and the enemy wants to kill them? Are you seeing the evidence of what was spiritual, what was godly, being killed by the enemy? And then look around and see, what is the enemy aiming at destroying? What have been my strengths that the enemy wants to destroy? What is it that has been flowering flourishing very well that the enemy is aiming at. The enemy comes to steal, he comes to kill, he comes to destroy. We've said that the enemy lures, he throws cultivated baits on our path. But the enemy also uses very cunning, very deceptive, very smart ways. The time I was growing up and I was in high school, my mentor, who was our Christian Union patron, gave us an illustration that has really stuck with me, that I constantly reflect on and think on as I think of what the enemy does to lure and draw us away from God. He used the illustration of the sun and wind. Imagine on a very windy day, a cold, windy day, winds are blowing maybe 30, 40, 50 miles per hour, and you are dressed in a jacket. You need your jacket, yet at the same time, you are fighting against the wind. So he told us, the wind and the sun can have a conversation and say, what is the easiest way you can take that jacket away from that man on this cold, windy day? This is, remember, illustrating how the enemy gets to us. The sun, knowing that he can easily win, will tell the wind, you go for it first. Employ your strategy. Let me see whether it is going to work or not. So here is what the wind is going to do. The wind will say, you know what? I am strong. I can increase my intensity and I can take the jacket out of that man by force. So what does the wind do? The wind will begin to move boisterously, 1 mile per hour, 2 miles, 3 miles, 20, gets to 30 miles per hour, hoping that it can strip that jacket out of the man. But you know what the man does? Because it is cold, because it is very windy, he knows he needs the jacket. So he holds very tightly onto the jacket. He zips it up and ties it around about him. So instead of succeeding, the wind fails. The man holds onto the jacket. But on the other hand, the sun comes in and says, you know what? Let me deal with man, beginning with what he likes. Let me offer him what will work and what is going to, what will really influence him, because I will use his likes. So the wind will be, not the wind, but right now we are looking at the sun. The sun will come in and decide, you know what? Let me first dip the temperatures. Let me lower myself. Let me not shine. Why? I want the man to look at his jacket like something that is very valuable. So this man knows, oh, it is cold. It is windy. I really need my jacket. So what does he do? He puts on the jacket. He zips it up and he begins to feel nice, protected from that cold. But the sun has a strategy. The sun then begins to warm up, pick up temperature, just like the wind does, the wind did. So the sun begins to increase the jacket, and he's increasing the jacket to the likes of the man. So the man begins to warm up. He begins to feel nice. And it's like, oh man, this jacket is really nice. It is really covering me. I'm really feeling good. Those who don't have a jacket must be suffering. But here I am. I'm really feeling good. So he loves the jacket and stays right there. But look at what the sun does. The sun continues to increase the temperature. Up and up, up and up. The man who was feeling comfortable suddenly begins to feel like, oh, it is getting a little too warm. What do I do? Let me now take off my jacket voluntarily because it is too hot. But you see, the man does not even realize that the sun was working out his own strategy. He had enjoyed the warmth of the jacket, and by the time it was finally coming out, there was not even a single thing in his mind that the sun was fighting. And that is what the enemy does. He looks for what we know that will look natural. He looks for what looks very nice, what looks like it is a solution to our problem. The enemy looks for what he will give you disguised enough for you to appreciate, for you to grasp it with gratitude. In fact, it just looks like, wow, somebody out of their kindness was doing this to me. Yet he never reveals that behind that is an enemy. By the time you discover, that which was valuable to you, like your jacket, will be gone. When you finally face the storms, when you finally face the cold temperatures, you don't have what it takes to stand as a Christian. Satan throws those well-calculated baits. Remember, he comes to steal, he wants to destroy, he wants to steal. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. If you look at the book of James chapter 1 verse 12 to 16, God gives us a pattern that most temptations take. First of all, we look at something. So our eyes see it, we behold it, and we like it. After we have seen it, we move on to a stage of that desire. We look at it, we see it, we like it. The desire comes in. And then finally, after that desire has taken root in our own mind, we reach out, we take it, we test it, and before we know it, we find that we are falling for the bait of the enemy. Let us read together what the Bible says. James chapter 1, verse 12 to 16. The Bible says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation." And remember, all of us go through temptation. No one is too strong for the enemy. No Christian is too strong for the devil. It does not matter how strong you may think you are. Let us continue reading. "For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." Look at what follows. "But every man is tempted when? When he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Then the Bible goes on to warn us and to admonish us, "Do not err, my beloved brethren." You see, the devil is a first-hand witness that God cannot dwell where sin abides. He was in heaven, and when he sinned, he could not dwell in heaven. God had to throw him down on earth, just as we have read from the book of Ezekiel and the book of Isaiah. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. The devil can quote that from his experience. In fact, the devil can also agree with God in what he tells us in the book of 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 to 7. The devil can quote sections of that and say, "Yes, I agree with the Bible in saying that if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and we do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another." Because the enemy had fellowship with God at one point. But when sin crept in, there could be no fellowship. Why? He was walking in darkness. There was no truth in him. So he was not walking in the light, and so there could be no fellowship. That is why Satan is going to work overtime, to make sure that Christians fall into sin. He will use his baits that draw us into sin and draw us away from God. Why? He knows that this is the perfect lure. When he draws us from God, when he draws you from God, that fellowship is going to be cut. God who is light cannot dwell in darkness. God who is light cannot fellowship with darkness. And once he brings you out of the presence of God, once he brings you out of fellowship with God, then you're going to be weak. You're not going to be spiritually alert. You're going to be blind. And that is when he now camouflages himself even better and brings to us again and brings to you those baits. Because you are blind, because you are not insightful, you will not see, you will not detect. Instead, you are going to find yourself drawn farther and farther away from God. But God is your ultimate umbrella. He is not telling us who Satan is to keep us away from God himself. He wants to open our eyes to know that there is an enemy. He is smart. He is strong. You will not fight him on your own. Come back under the umbrella of God. We shall stop here again for today and pick up with God being our safest umbrella. Let us pray together. Father, thank you for revealing yourself to us again and showing us who the enemy is that we are fighting. But not just showing us who the enemy is, but Father, opening our eyes to know that there is safety in you. To know that we have a part in the temptations we succumb to in life. But thank you for showing us that we can walk back into the arms of God. So Father, stand with us today. I pray that you will lower our hearts unto thee. Warm our hearts again. Give us that desire to run back into the umbrella of God. Father, I pray for anybody that has been netted under the umbrella of the enemy. Lord, may they reach out and get hold of your mighty hand as you stretch your hand down to us. May we hold on to you. Lord, may you draw us to yourself again. So give us the strength to say no to the enemy. Give us the power to say yes to the living God. Father, we love you. We exalt you. May you do your work. May the Holy Spirit take what we have shared this day and minister to your children at the point of our needs. We love you. We exalt you. For we have prayed this in Jesus' name.
Thank you for tuning into Healing for Your Heart. You can contact Amelia Kenya through her website, ameliakenya.com. That's AmiliaKenya.com. There, you will also find spiritual resources through her following books, Prayer and Spiritual Warfare, Spiritual Victory for the 21st Century, Back to God for Healing, The Power of a Woman, and God's Presence, The Missing Something.